Columbus, it's Jenny and Bill from Simple Bath and Kitchen. Are you thinking about updating your bathroom or kitchen?
Don't call some big out-of-town franchise. We're local, top to bottom, right here in Columbus.
We know our city, we know the homes, and we always treat every project like it's our own.
On time, on budget, zero pressure. So you can actually enjoy your home.
Visit SimpleBathAndKitchen.com today.
We make it simple for you.
That's SimpleBathAndKitchen.com.
SimpleBathAndKitchen.com.
Do you know what people say when they start planning a remodel? They say, I don't even know where to begin.
But that's where we come in. At Simple Bath & Kitchen, design is the fun part.
We walk you through styles, colors, and layouts right in our showroom so you can see your new space come to life.
And once you love the design, our team handles the rest. On time, on budget, and with zero pressure.
Beautiful designs, smooth process.
Visit SimpleBathAndKitchen.com to start your design today.
We make it simple for you.
Hello, it's Alice Arnold here. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. We have a great guest for you this week. He just came into the bar where I was interviewing him like a whirlwind. Anyway, his name is Roy Haylock, also known as the drag artist Bianca Del Rio, and he is performing in Everybody's Talking About Jane. Here we are in the dress circle bar? Yeah. The dress circle bar of the Apollo Theatre, where Everybody's Talking About Jamie is playing. We've been here before, actually. This is familiar podcast territory for us. We've been in this bar, and I have to say, the bar is not open.
Sadly.
It's very, very shut, and we are the only people in it. Well,
yes.
Yes, myself, and Roy Haylock, who is playing. Well, also, Roy Haylock and Bianca Del Rio.
Yes.
Both names.
Yes, that's my later identity.
But you are Roy.
Yes, I am.
Yes. And you're taking over, well, you have taken over.
Yes.
As Loco Chanel.
Yes, last night.
Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Was it last night? It was your first night?
Last night was my first night with an audience. It is surreal. I must tell you, the people here on the West End are beyond lovely. So it was a wild night, I must say. Great time, though.
Good. One question answered. Tick.
Oh, tick. Oh, good.
How are the people in the West End?
No, they're lovely. I often say, aside from doing this theatrical production, which is something new for me in years, I used to do theater when I was much younger, but to come back to it is amazing, but I usually do my solo stand-up shows, and it just seems like people over here get my sense of humor a lot more than our political climate in America. So here, people actually like a drink and a good time, so I have to say I am quite fond of everyone here.
So have you done your stand-up shows in
yes.
England too? Yes.
Yeah, this is...
That was your main thing
yes.
before... taking over in
correct.
This.
Correct. Yeah, so I'm starting up my fourth tour. I've already started in Asia and Australia, but I start in the UK and in Ireland and England, and look at UK, Ireland, Europe, and America right after this. I literally finish the show June 29th, and then I have 5 days off, and then I come back here to do Wembley. I'm doing Wembley Arena.
Are you?
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
I'm ready for it. Yeah, yes. I always have to tell people Wembley Arena because people often assume it's Wembley Stadium. That's a bit much. Yes. So right. I do
it's
clarify.
It's still big.
It is.
It's
still,
it's, you know, it is. It's not a sitting room, is it?
No, not at all. It's not. It's not the gold bar, no.
But and you won RuPaul's Drag Race, which was a huge thing. Now, my producer, Sarah, who's sitting here, said that she watched it, and from the very first episode, she just went, well, he's going to win.
You know,
and
it's
there
funny.
Was no contest.
It's funny that a lot of people say that, but I think what's interesting for me is, you know, we film it. You have no idea what's going on as far as everyone else's story is concerned. But when it's aired, which is many months later, it's their narrative that they're telling, you know? So I guess it does seem a little maybe more obvious for editing purposes,
yes.
But when you're there, you have no idea what's going on. You're just happy to survive each day because the challenges and, you know, it's like the challenges are there, but also the television show is a huge part of it. So you're kind of in a blur. They don't give you information or input of what's happening. It's like, go. So you're just looking to make it.
But then you know the result, and then you have to keep quiet about that.
No, this is the tricky part. We film up to a certain point, and when we get to a certain point, they eliminate all of us. They film all of us being eliminated. Then we come back for a live viewing party, and then even there, they crown several winners, and then the night it airs is the night you find out.
No.
Yes, yes,
so
yes,
they
yes.
crown you as a winner,
yeah.
but you might not have won.
You might
so
not win.
So you've got to pretend
well,
all
you
the
know,
tears of
people
joy.
Often say pretend, but then I said to myself, if I win, this is my 10 minutes of what it felt like. So you live
yeah,
in the moment.
No, but it's not the same, is it?
No,
you don't actually know if
well, it's
won
the glory
or not.
Of having a wedding, and you don't have to be married to anyone. It's fabulous.
No, in this, in Everybody's Talking About Jamie,
yes.
you play Loco Chanel, mm-hmm. who, well, you have two parts, mm-hmm. but one of them is Loco Chanel.
Correct.
Who is a drag artist.
Yes.
Is that the same drag artist as Bianca Del Rio?
I think there's lots of similarities, and I think that's one of the reasons why I was asked to do it. And I come from a time, I mean, being 43 years old, I grew up with these types of drag queens. You know, drag is very different now than it was 20 years ago when I started. So I can relate really well with it. And what's great, too, as an actor is that I get to play the other part. I get to play Hugo, which is kind of this humdrum guy who had drag in his heyday. And through Jamie, he brings it back to life. So it kind of wakes him up. And so I've had these moments in my life, and I could definitely relate to it. But there are parts of Bianca. Obviously, the look is Bianca, but it's just a great opportunity to get to play this, you know, and it's what our world was like pre-internet, which was completely different than now. There was no Instagram, no selfies. It was just old school drag. You had to go to a bar to see drag performers.
And I mean, you say that it's changed. How do you think it's changed in the last 20 years?
Well, I mean, we live in this digital age where, you know, people are famous for putting on makeup. People are famous for taking a great photo. People are famous for having no talent. It's different than mm-hmm. what it was, you know, years ago. You had to, especially a drag queen, you had to have an act. You either sang, you either danced, you either was a lip sync performer, or you were an impersonator of a certain celebrity. That was what the old school was. And you'd have to go to theaters and bars to witness it. And now kind of drag is everywhere. I mean, it's good and bad, but it's like drag queens are falling out of the trees now. Everywhere you go, somebody wants to be a drag or a beauty influencer or an actress model slash. It's like, okay, great, whatever. But that's the world we live in now. It's a little different than what it was when I started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God I haven't gotten wrapped up in it, you know? And this part.
In the,
yeah, I'm
in
glad
the,
I started when the, I started.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
But, well, you're a comedian.
Yes.
I mean, you have, you know, your act is everything. You know, it's a strong, it's not,
it's
you're
what
not
I have.
Just there for, yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah, it's not about looks
no,
or beauty.
No,
right. No. And I'm not very ladylike.
The story of Jamie.
Yes.
And back to the show.
Yes, of course.
Which we're doing now.
Yeah.
And I saw it some time ago, but it had already become kind of a cult thing,
yes.
I think. And the really young audience were watching it and absolutely supporting the story.
Yes.
Which I just thought was really uplifting. I mean, it's a very uplifting show anyway.
Very
but
much.
But more uplifting because of the way the audience react. They know what they're coming to see now.
Yes.
And they come because they want to see that. And they want to cheer on Jamie.
Yeah, and it's kudos to the writers. I mean, it's a very well-written show. And what I try to explain to people is, despite the fact that I'm playing a drag queen, the show really is not about drag. It's basically about someone who wants to be a drag queen, but also what he goes through in his life with relationships and hate and anger and bigotry. That's what it's really about. So it's not about, oh, I want to be a drag queen, my life is all fixed. It is a beautifully told story. And one of the things I say about the mom in the show, I mean, obviously she has that one number that kills you.
Yeah.
And as I said, as a gay man watching the show, what really drew me to it was, here is this woman singing the song, and as a gay man, you either go, oh my God, that's my mother, and I don't appreciate it enough, or you're that gay boy going, I wish that was my mother. So
yeah.
You're moved
yeah.
no matter who you are,
yeah.
you know? And it's really a beautifully told story. So what I love about it is there's camp and there's fun, but truly the underlying message is acceptance and basically
yeah.
following your dreams. And his little dream is to be a drag queen. I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Have you seen the documentary?
It was on
the other night.
I have not seen the documentary.
I hadn't seen it before, and then suddenly there it was, and there was the...
And what's amazing
is
that...
Which is what it's based on originally,
yes.
which is a true story.
Yeah, and now they're making a movie, which is pretty amazing.
And your story...
Yes.
...relates to Jamie in some ways or not?
Yes and no. Did you have
that mother?
Not necessarily that overly supportive. I think I had my moments, because I'm the fourth out of five kids, so I think they had three normal children, then I came along.
Right.
And I say, you know, normal, meaning I was showbiz, so yeah. that was scary. But... I think I definitely can relate more to the Hugo Loco character as far as, you know, I got out of where I was from, which was New Orleans, and then I went and, you know, was acting and then became a drag queen and dealt with theater and costumes and stuff. And so things have kind of evolved in that path for me. But it wasn't a dream. I never sat back and said, I want to be a drag queen.
Okay.
I didn't know early on. No. It just kind of, they said, you want to be a drag? Sure. You want to be a monkey? Sure. Yeah. I said yes to everything.
But you
picky.
Love all the costume thing, don't
oh, yes.
you? I mean, design and everything is really...
That's my first love.
Big, yeah.
Yes, that's definitely my passion. And then drag kind of fell into a part of all of it, which has been surreal. So now it's kind of like the best of both worlds, you know?
Yeah. Because it's a big part of drag.
Completely, yeah.
Because I always think... You know, the hours that you must spend. How long does it take you to get ready for your own?
Well, for myself, I can get ready in an hour. That's usually out of the shower, shaving your face, and ready to go. But, you know, I, in this show, I get ready in 19 minutes because I start the show as a boy, and a man.
Yeah.
And then I have literally 19 minutes off stage to get in full drag and then return. So it's pretty quick. 4 9-minute on the stage. So
you've
all
timed
of that,
it takes me longer. You've been there with a stopwatch, haven't you?
Yeah, it takes me longer to get ready than I spend on stage and drag.
Yeah. So going back to Louisiana, New Orleans, around about that area.
That's it.
Yeah, I went there once when I was very young and I didn't have any money to buy a drink, and I'd love to go back now and
be able
to afford like
I love the fact I need money for a drink. That is New Orleans. Yeah. That is. It's an amazing place.
And I saw those lovely looking restaurants and everything. And then Hurricane Katrina happened.
Yes.
And were you there then?
I was there. I was there that year. And I luckily didn't have any damage to my home or anything. It was just a moment where the entertainment was not the top priority. So it was an out for me. It was an opportunity for me to get out. Obviously, I was working in theater and working with the opera and doing drag and stuff. And businesses just went, you know, not many people were out in the bars celebrating. There's not much to celebrate when there's not much to the city. So for me, it was, I was 30, and I said, well, you know, this is the perfect chance to go do something else. And so I packed up and went back to New York from 30, and I was there until about 5 years ago. Now I'm in Los Angeles. So it was one of those moments where it's always been home, and I always go back and visit, and I love it dearly. But my life has kind of taken turns to be in New York and Los Angeles and here, which has been a while. So I do go back often, though, and it's the best place for food and drinks and music.
And has it recovered?
Oh my God, tremendously. Yeah. I mean, a lot's happened. And luckily, well, I guess not luckily because any damage is bad, but the French Quarter itself and the tourism area was not badly damaged. So luckily none of that has affected business and people coming back in.
And you talked about the West End audiences being brilliant and the audience has generally been brilliant. But is drag different in America than here? Is there a cultural difference?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think what I enjoy most about West End, you know, being over here and witnessing drag is that they are more old school here. They do have an act. A majority of the queens here don't lip sync. They do sing live in the clubs, which is great. So, I mean, I appreciate that. That's just my own personal taste. America, it's also by region in America. You know, in the South, we have a lot of drag pageants, which are a big thing. So it's a lot more modeling and swimwear and evening gowns and talent numbers. In New York, there are a lot of singing
dancers.
Have you
done a pageant?
I've never done a pageant. Oh, God. Can you imagine if I lost? I would be miserable. To tell people, I said, I only did the pageant that matters, Drag Race. I'm not a pageant gal, but it definitely depends on where you are. But I think in America, drag is just, it just seems as though it's overpopulated and oversaturated. Whereas here, it's little pockets of drag, you know, which is great.
Now, with your comedy, I think you're quite sharp. Do you think...
Depends on who you ask.
I use that word. Do you think being in drag lets you get away with more?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think, I've also, the type of comedy that I've been doing for years and doing it in my own world. And I think once I've done, obviously, RuPaul's Drag Race and this television show, television's a very powerful thing, and it put it out into the universe. And so we also live in a world where a lot of people will say, you can't say that. And that's always my biggest thing, is that I go, I can say whatever I want. You don't have to like it, and you can move on. But I think we live in a world where they call it the canceling culture, where they love to say, this is what we're against, this is what it's about. And it's like, look, there's lots of people I don't like. There's lots of people's drag I don't like, lots of movie stars I don't like. I don't watch their movies, I don't go see their shows, I don't bother with the magazines. So you're entitled to have that opinion just as I am. And I think we've lost that in this world. But drag also gives you the fanfare, you know, and it's more of the visual of it all. You know, I would say if I didn't wear a wig, I'd be called a hateful homosexual. But if I wear the wig, they call me hysterical. Yeah. So it's just the packaging, I think, to get away with yeah. murder. But it's more to do with them than it is to do with me. I'm just as nasty out of it. I'm just the same.
You've talked about that. I read it in an interview that was sort of the bitchiness that goes on around.
Oh, yeah.
And I use that word.
Oh, God. Oh, I love it.
Okay, I think.
Oh.
But it's kind of a thing. Isn't it? It's
yes.
like a game. I mean,
well, totally. I mean, I don't believe any of that, but it's definitely, it's a show. It's you know, it's like a Dame Edna type of situation, you know, where it's a character. And what's fascinating is, you know, most people don't realize that Barry Humphries, who is Dame Edna, is a straight married man. And this yes. was just one of his characters. So I think it's easier for people to accept, I think. You know, they kind of know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And it does add some theatricality to it, you know, because you really can be a total bitch if you have eyelashes on. Right. It really adds to it.
So what would your material be at Wembley then?
Oh, my God. Well, I talk about everything.
What issues do you cover?
Well, my show is called It's Just a Joke. Get it? Just a joke. Because everybody's so serious now. So I discuss, you know, obviously a small amount of politics. I mean, you know, in America we have Trump and here you've got Brexit. So there's always something to talk about. So political stuff, also talking about social media and the impact of social media and how people's lives revolve around this social media, which is insane to me because mm-hmm. that's when I realize I'm old. That's when I go...
You're not old.
Well, you know what I mean. It's like you go... What are we talking about? You know, why does it matter so much to people? So I do discuss that. And also my life as an erotic clown. That's what I always call myself because I'm not a soft feminine creature. Well, if I am, emphasis on the word creature. But I do discuss my life and how people treat me in situations that I've been in, which is insane.
And how do they?
Well, people are nuts. People are really, really crazy. Like I also have a whole section where I discuss the comments that I get or the direct messages I get, which are...
Well, on Twitter.
Insane. Yes. The amount of things that people ask, it's nuts.
Now, do you think the Trump thing is changing people's attitudes in America, or do you think it's making people, like maybe the Brexit thing has been accused of here, of giving people what maybe license to be more homophobic,
oh,
and racist,
yes.
and...
Yeah, I haven't watched the news lately because I've been here, which has been good. I guess it's never not good to not know what's going on in the world, but it's just so insane in America right now. And I think all of the what's been interesting is the reports that you see that hate crimes are up insanely. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's definitely riled people up. I mean, there's good and bad with it. Obviously, I didn't vote for him. I'm not interested in him. But I do see why people did vote for him, because now it's kind of like this open discussion to be racist, you know, and people mm-hmm. feel that it's okay. And I mean, I often tell people when people say to me, well, the gay community and this, and then I go, well, first of all, I'm not a community. I'm a person. Yes, I'm gay, but I pay taxes. I'm a person. And I'm blown away when they go, oh, community. No, I'm a human being who pays taxes and lives life. Everyone should have the same rights. I mean, I do believe that. And why do you care so much? Like, you know, if you're not gay, what the hell do you care if gay people? Let them be as miserable as straight people. Yeah. Go get married. But I am fascinated how it works. So I definitely think it's inflamed people. And it's really upsetting. And I can only hope that, you know, it doesn't continue for another 4 years because we have an election coming up. But it's almost like everybody's their own worst enemy, you know? It's like these groups of hate and this endless amount of nothing being resolved is really kind of frustrating. So I'm kind of glad to be away from it for a bit.
Yeah.
And it's so depressing. It really, really is. And I don't know. I go, has it been this bad before? And just now with the media coverage, it's just so saturated? Is that it? I don't know. I don't know. Do we have to access to all of this information a little too much? I don't know.
But then you see that other side of that is that you're in a show every night.
Yes,
only started
thankfully.
Last night, where young people will be celebrating diversity, difference,
right.
and in a really, really positive way.
There's hope for the children. There's hope for the children. No,
well, I hope so.
Well, it can't get any worse. I mean, look at where we are, you know. And even in being 43, in my little journey is to see how quickly the world has changed. And I try to remind a lot of any young kids that I come across when they ask advice and they say, you know, how do you get into this business or what do you feel about drag and what do you feel? I'm like, look, there's people that lost lives and struggled for us to have these opportunities. Open a book. You know, we live in a world where you can go and Google anything. Go read a book. Find out about your history. This year is the 50th anniversary of Stonewall in New York. And it's amazing how many people have no idea what that's about.
Yeah.
You know? It's interesting. I had older friends of mine that would discuss back in the day, if you dressed in drag, you were arrested, thrown in a paddy wagon, you know? And in New Orleans, there was gay bars that if there were gay men dancing, they had to have one female on the dance floor. If not, the bar would get shut down. So, insane to think about. It was not that long ago.
I know.
So
it was in our life, well, certainly in my lifetime.
No,
very
I mean,
much
it,
in my
it
lifetime.
Blows my mind. And yeah. It's like, you should be, the fact that it's on television, the fact that it's celebrated in this way, you are some lucky son of a bitches. I mean.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sending to people that they should learn about the history of it.
Completely.
Is really important to
you should
appreciate.
Want to
because
know.
You take it for granted. I think a lot of young people
much.
Take it very much for granted now.
Yeah.
And you go, actually, you know.
Well,
you
entitled.
Were 30 years younger. Life
different
was very,
world.
Life was very different. It
different.
Was very secretive. It was very,
yeah.
You know. On the other hand, there were moments where that felt kind of special because it was
oh, yes.
secretive and
well, if you survived
sort of
that,
fun,
if you
know,
survived that, wow. I
yeah.
mean, and I love the stories, you know, and that's one of the things I loved about living in New Orleans is that the gay culture there, they had, during Mardi Gras, they would have Mardi Gras balls, and it was one of the few times that a gay men would be able to get together and dress in drag, and it was a huge drag show presentation that's still alive today. And it's amazing. Some of these people are 80 years old still in their drag and their heels and feeling their fantasy. And I go, well, that's what it should be. You should be able to do whatever you want with your life. I mean, who the hell is going to tell you can't?
Yeah.
You know? And you can't get wrapped up in other people's opinions because that's the worst. You just really, really can't.
So you've got a limited season
here. Yes. Yes. I'm here till June 29th. Yes.
June the 29th. That's not very long.
No, I have 8 weeks. That was all I could squeeze in, and I was so grateful that they said, yes, it could work out.
So, and then you do Wembley.
Yes, and then I go on the road. So I'll be going to South Africa. I'll
okay.
be going to
everywhere.
I could do Wembley here, but then there's also Manchester. There's Cardiff. There's then I head over to Ireland, and I do Dublin, and it's endless. And then 49 states in America. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll get 49 states?
Yeah,
which
49 cities. 49 cities, not
oh,
49 states.
I was gonna say 49.
49
states. Which
you
one
see
aren't
me?
You doing?
Oh, my God. Which one? The one. No, Florida. No, I am doing Florida.
Hawaii? Are you doing Hawaii?
No, I haven't done Hawaii. I have not done Hawaii, yeah. But
I think you'd be great in
Hawaii. I would love Hawaii. I haven't been.
Nice.
I would love to go, but I don't
That's
vacation
nice.
Much.
You've
been?
You don't.
Did you have
yeah.
a drink there? You had money to go to Hawaii?
Yeah, because
okay.
I went when I could afford a drink.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I had a pina colada
oh.
on the beach watching the sunset.
See?
Get in.
I need to do it. Dreams.
The advantage of being really old.
I don't know.
You can
afford
a pina colada. That's excellent.
The advantage to being rich. I need to go. I'm excited. You do great for tourism.
So when do you ever get home?
I'll be home for 5 days in between this, and then I'll be home in late
but
December.
But you've got dogs.
I do have dogs.
Well, what are the dogs doing with
well,
that?
I have a dog sitter, and then it's so crazy because they're 13 and 14, so they're really hard to travel with.
What are they?
They're long-haired chihuahuas. Are they? And they're lovely.
Can
and
they
I,
fit in your pocket?
No, they could. They could. It's just, you know, it's also just not fair for them. I was considering bringing them here, but, you know, the hours that I'm here at the theater, I didn't want to leave them locked up. And they have a fabulous dog sitter that they get to sit in the backyard, and she sent me spa photos the other day. So they're living a good life in Los Angeles. Yeah, Hollywood dogs. So they're doing well. You know, they're doing well. I mean, if they were younger, it might be different. If it was maybe just one of them, it'd be easier. But with two and being elderly and having medication, and it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I know.
Yeah, but luckily I don't have to put them through college, so I'm good.
No, they're cheaper until the big vet's bills start coming.
Exactly.
Roy,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you.
Good luck with the rest of the run and the show and Wembley and all of that. That's been fantastic talking
well,
to you.
Well, thank you, and I'm excited to be here. So thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
That was Roy Haylock, also known as Bianca Del Rio, from Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed it, you can rate it on one of those apps or something. I don't know. Give it 5 stars. Whatever you give an Uber driver. That'll do.